Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Most of today's show is on tape, what we call an encore broadcast. Some of our favorite segments from the last couple months. But this is new. As we go to air Thursday morning, Illinois is reporting nearly 84,700 known cases of COVID-19, including 3,792 deaths from the disease. Today on the broadcast, we check in with student musicians, college age and younger, about having to go without their traditional spring recitals. And we'll talk to an expert on hobbies who says having to stay at home for weeks on end might be the perfect time to pick one up. But first, every Thursday on the 21st, we discuss a different mental health topic. Today, we wanted to revisit a conversation with Alexandra Solomon, a licensed clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University and a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Psychology. She specializes in the field of marriage and family relationships. Dr. Solomon joined the 21st just days after Illinois' stay-at-home order went into effect. She was sharing some tips about how to talk to friends and family, or strangers, who we feel maybe aren't taking physical distancing guidelines seriously enough. She also shared some advice about what to do when we just need some space from loved ones with whom we might be cooped up. She spoke with Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick on the show March 26th, but we thought her wisdom could be especially helpful now as we approach the end of our eighth week of Illinois' stay-at-home order. Here's that interview.
Alexandra, I'm sure many of our listeners know someone who maybe isn't taking these stay-at-home directions very seriously. What are you hearing?
Yes, I do think that, you know, we could plot all of us on a spectrum from, you know, life as usual to incredibly hunkered down. And even if, you know, our mother or father is responding responsibly, if they're one degree less serious about it than we are, it can be cause for tremendous anxiety and upset because we, you know, there even just that little difference can spark a lot of feelings in us.
And what about when someone we know, like a parent, for example, they may be over 60 at more risk of complications for COVID-19, still doing things, you know, maybe that they're not supposed to do, like going to the store when it's crowded or seeing a small group of friends. I think I saw a picture on Twitter about all the folks walking up in the Chicago area together on the path. What do you give that advice to a parent without creating conflict?
Well, exactly. So what I want us to avoid is kind of coming in, you know, already upset and coming in with sweeping statements like you always or you never or you're being so. And I really want people to lead with a lot of curiosity. So I think a lovely opening question to a parent who is behaving in our eyes recklessly would be to say, can you just talk to me a bit about what is so hard for you about this? Like a genuine curiosity of, just help me understand how this has been for you, like what's difficult for you. And that may give us a little bit of insight and then a bit of leverage later on in the conversation. But that whole problem solving, we need to hold off on until we have really just kind of, what a therapist would say, held space for. That we lead with empathy and we hold space for just like, tell me, mom, what's hard for you about this? Like, talk me through what it's been like for you to have your, you know, your style cramped, your life shrunk down.
Now, this is 2020, and we know a lot of people are on social media. And today, even I was looking at an exchange with folks, and there are definitely folks who cite certain sources of information, may not be legitimate news sources, but they really believe what they're reading, or they've heard, you know, there's more flu deaths than coronavirus, and they may not get their whole minds around the explosion of cases. And they're going to cite those facts. How do you have that talk without going into a lot of conflict?
Well, I agree. I think that is one of the biggest challenges is when family members are getting their news from different places where there isn't kind of listening to scientists and taking this as seriously. And that is definitely an uphill battle. So I think, again, I worry about families getting into my news versus your news. And I want families to really stay focused on the relationship. And then the next move may be to say, can you help me? Can you help me? I'm incredibly anxious and I'm afraid and I'm worried. And it would be so loving of you to really follow these recommendations to help me out. So that may be a way of just really talking about what my experience is. Sometimes in my field, we talk about an XYZ statement. So when you continue to hang out with your friends during this time of social distancing, I feel scared and angry. So when you do X in situation Y, I feel Z. So when we can frame it like an XYZ statement, and we're really inviting our parent to see how hard this is for me. When you're hanging out with your friends, I feel so scared. I want you around for a very long time. So enlisting our parent to see our struggle, our fear, our worry may help us towards that end goal more effectively than trading news sources back and forth.
We were talking about talking to your parent. Let's talk about your adult child who is no longer underage, but, you know, has their own mind. But again, you really care for them and they're taking social, but they're not taking social distancing seriously. How would you speak to them?
Yes, I think this is another twist, you know, an equally challenging situation is for a parent to accept the limits of their control. Right. So a parent can lead with empathy. They can sort of say, you know, I want you to be responsible. We all have a duty here. And then at that point, at some point, if it really feels like we're spinning our wheels and our adult child isn't listening to us, then it does become a shift into, okay, so then here's where I need to put a boundary, because if you aren't going to take care of yourself and the people around you, I at least need to be protecting myself, right? So there's some effort to connect, some effort to influence, and then at some point it becomes an issue of boundaries. If you aren't going to protect yourself, I at least am going to need to make the choice to protect myself.
And teenagers, I imagine, is another group. I'm sure parents of teenagers might be struggling right now with school out in Illinois. How do you keep all these teens from, you know, automatically getting together and you know, and even younger, but keeping them 6 feet apart if they do get together?
It's so hard. It is so hard. So I mostly just want to validate how incredibly difficult this is and how very real it is for teenagers. You know, we know that for teenagers, developmentally, their peer group matters a lot. They aren't just trying to be a pain in their parents' neck. They just really anchor their developmental, you know, lives and their on their peer group. So I encourage parents to just have a lot of latitude around FaceTime and screen time. And I think that those are the stories I hear. I'm the mother of teenagers, and those are the stories I'm hearing, that there's lots of, you know, FaceTime hangouts. And thank goodness that this generation is so fluid and fluent on their phones. And so they can create opportunities. My daughter and her friend did a little personality quiz together last night and spent some time on the phone together doing that and being a bit creative about, you know, how they could be together while they're apart. But it really is. It's incumbent, painful as it is, to have empathy for our kids. This isn't easy, but then also to have clear expectations and agreements.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with psychology professor at Northwestern University, Alexandra Solomon. She also has a psychotherapy practice. She's giving us some strategies on how to talk to loved ones about taking social distancing rules seriously to stop the spread of coronavirus. One thing that a lot of people are wondering, you know, you're in this space all together, maybe you're used to your independent lives, and then you do need some space because you're all under the same roof. You know, how do you say, you know what, I do need some time away from family, you know, and I'm not used to this, without hurting everyone else's feelings?
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is we are all scared and we are all stressed. And when we are feeling that way, our emotional reserves can get a bit depleted. So we may have a sharper tongue than we usually do. We may feel less patient than we usually do. And so the biggest thing we want to be doing is just damage control. So if I'm feeling like my fuse is short and I may say something to my family members that I'm going to regret later, I'm going to say something like, I love us too much to continue this conversation. I'm going to step away and take a break. And that way I'm taking responsibility for I'm not saying you're making me crazy, you're making me mad, because nobody is making me feel any kind of way. That's just the way I'm feeling. And so I'm going to step away lovingly and calm myself down before I say something that I'm going to regret. That's the biggest thing. Is just that's the tricky thing with anger and irritation, is it feels in the moment like we have to say this thing, we have to get this out, we have to deal with this right now. In fact, we don't. In fact, our most important sort of compass north at this time, our guiding principle here, needs to just be limiting the damage we do, and just remembering that everybody in our house has had their worlds upside down, and that can help us connect back to a sense of compassion and grace, you know, for ourselves and for the people that we are sharing space with.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week. You know, there are mental health services, and maybe they might have to kind of do things differently, maybe over FaceTime. But what should one do if you think you need, you know, some additional help right now, or just reaching out to therapy? And are those services kind of booked up, really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just because we are, you know, stuck in our homes does not mean that we can't be doing therapy. And I'm connected to obviously a large network of therapists, and we all, you know, we've all transitioned to teletherapy. So we're working via Zoom or other, you know, web-based platforms and doing therapy. So the Family Institute where I work, we have offices all over the Chicagoland area. We have sliding scale services where we set fees based on families' income. We also take health insurance and have some out-of-pocket clinicians as well. And so that's, the Family Institute is a great resource, a great place to start in terms of individual, couple, and family therapy, all of which can be done, you know, remotely, screen to screen at this time. And certainly it is a time where having some therapy, some additional support is essential.
Okay, we've talked a little bit about friends and family. What about strangers? So we do still have to go to a grocery store and pick up some things, and there might be times where it's a little more crowded, or maybe someone's walking. You know, you're on a sidewalk and you're a little bit close. How do you gently remind strangers, you know, I'm practicing social distancing without offending them?
I love the way you just said it. It's so gentle. I'm practicing social distancing. It's so much more gentle than you need to step back, or you're too close to me, or step back, or what are you doing, right? So really just locating the comment within ourselves. I'm practicing social distancing. Or stepping ourselves back, you know. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and it was so strange. It's so strange to be frightened of fellow human beings, right? To not want somebody else to be near me. But I needed to go in this particular, you know, freezer cabinet, and I waited for somebody to step away. And so if we walk, I think if we take the responsibility of walking into a space and knowing that we are going to take responsibility for where our bodies are in space, I think that's really helpful. Strange and sad, but helpful. And it's what it means right now to be a good citizen, isn't it?
I wonder, you know, we know first responders and doctors kind of prepare for these kind of situations. Do you do that as well in the mental health field?
Yes, I think it's now is a more important time than ever for us as therapists to be having lots of time for peer consultation and to be talking to each other and just having, you know, having our finger on the pulse of what are some of the dynamics that we're seeing, and how are you handling this, and how am I handling this. And one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is with our ongoing clients, you know, our client maybe came in with a marital issue, and now we are having to kind of walk this line of working on the original problem they came into therapy with, while also working on whatever this current crisis is kicking up. Because that is one thing that is certain, is that the crisis right now, having to change our lives as much as we do, it can really wake up some old traumas, some old wounds, whether that be about some financial insecurity that maybe we grew up without very much, with, you know, bare cupboards and some food insecurity. But maybe now we live as an adult with bounty and plenty. But a time like this, it can sort of awaken those old feelings and those old fears. So we as therapists are talking a lot about how can we have an ear towards our clients' current concerns, but also listening for ways that this current crisis may be stirring up old stuff in them that is sort of surprising and confusing, and helping our clients make sense of that.
That was Reginald Hardwick speaking with Alexandra Solomon, a licensed clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University, where she's also clinical assistant professor in the Department of Psychology. We'd love to hear what you thought about our conversation today or anything else we talk about on the show. You can send us an email, talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Better yet, you might even want to send us a voice memo. We might use it on air. Once again, that email address is talk@21stshow.org. You can also, of course, tweet us at 21stshow. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with some student musicians, both college age and even younger, as they're missing out on recital season. We're also going to be talking with writer Elizabeth Segrin, who's done a lot of reporting on hobbies and interviewed hobby experts. Yes, there are actual hobby experts. She says now might be the perfect time, staying at home for weeks and weeks on end, to pick up a new activity. That's coming up after a short break here on the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.